Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics column. He's based in London. We're observing the Kabul tragedy, but at the same time, in London, Boris Johnson is pressed on all sides about the economy, about vaccination rates, about back to school, and something new, Extinction Rebellion. Joe, what is the Extinction Rebellion for people who've not heard of it, or it's only brushed the side of some headlines, and then we've moved on to the pandemic? What happened these last days?
Well, Extinction Rebellion is not necessarily a new phenomenon. It's been going on for a couple of years, and it is a major far-left environmental protest. What they did in 2019 was they did a bunch of protests in central London where they camped out in the middle of various roads and bridges to obstruct traffic, ostensibly trying to hold Boris Johnson's government hostage to negotiate on various climate policy issues or accelerate its progress toward reducing carbon emissions and the like. And, you know, they have been in abeyance for the past year or so because of the pandemic, but have decided that now is the right time to come out in force again, partly because the UK is going to be hosting the next major global climate conference in Glasgow in Scotland in a couple months. And so they wanted to make their presence felt, which they have done by blocking several major intersections in London's West End, sort of the theater and cultural district at the part of London, to try to draw attention to their cause. So it is a big protest. I mean, it's very disruptive. It's kind of difficult to know how many people actually support it precisely because it is so disruptive. But, you know, clearly this is another headache that Boris Johnson can't be happy to have.
We did both note there is a cartoon, an editorial cartoon on the front page of the London Times, in which one of the minister's assistants, prime minister's assistants, comes through the door and talks about the Extinction Rebellion disrupting street traffic in the middle of a pandemic, a kind of a super spreader protest. However, then the assistant says it'll be all over the television news. It'll dominate the story. And the tousled-haired, charismatic prime minister shouts, "Beauties!" So I'm perceiving that the mockery here, Joe, is that Boris Johnson is so overwhelmed with Kabul, he's looking for anything but Kabul. However, we know that his government is being pressed for why it isn't doing better about the evacuation. Also about the foreign minister, Dominic Raab, who stayed on holiday, he says, because the prime minister gave him permission. Is Boris Johnson being treated as a lightweight in the television news? Are they suddenly discovering a new part of Boris Johnson that he's only good for the good times?
Well, there's a Boris Johnson angle to this where I think that people are right to ask several questions about the quality of his governance through this Afghanistan crisis and, frankly, through the pandemic, too. I mean, this issue of how effectively they were able to collect intelligence on Afghanistan or understand information about what was happening with the pandemic, sort of how effectively or not they translated that into action. And in the case of Afghanistan, there's this big question of how successful or otherwise he has been at trying to work the UK's traditional alliance with the US in relationship with Joe Biden, you know, to try to, you know, accommodate various UK needs in terms of the evacuation from Afghanistan. So, I mean, all of those questions are swirling around politically here, but I also think that it's important to understand that Boris Johnson and his government now also find themselves facing a much deeper crisis, which has to do with the nature of Britain's alliance with the US, because this has been the cornerstone of their foreign policy for many decades now. And in fact, you know, this notion that there was the special relationship and that relationship was particularly close, that there would not be any daylight between the two partners, has been a central tenet of the way Britain thought about its foreign policy and its place in the world. And now they're kind of set the shock thinking they might have to start thinking about alternatives to that mindset. And so that's going to be a very difficult situation for a leader like Boris Johnson or a foreign secretary like Dominic Raab to try to lead the country through, if in fact that is the sort of reappraisal that will start happening over the next few years.
We're going to turn to the vaccine and the economy and the recovery, but just a note here, Joe, in 30 seconds. Has Boris Johnson been making evening declarations, making speeches on air or appearing before number 10 at the microphone making comments, or has he been avoiding the media? How has he played this? 30 seconds.
We have not seen a lot of him in the media, and that highlights this problem that Britain is in the situation of having to be reactive to decisions that are made in Washington or Kabul, and there is not the sense that Boris has a capacity to direct things himself, and that is also part of his political problem now.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. When we come back, the economy, the recovery, the virus. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.